Good afternoon, 4:30 and 85 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Dan Conte.
And I'm Ellen Barnett.
Safety is one of our priorities for the citizens of Kentucky. We're going to make sure they travel safely, and we need to move our commerce.
State Representative Sal Santoro has been named to a work group charged with examining Kentucky's infrastructure needs.
A man has been killed in a car motorcycle accident in Johnson County.
And several groups endorse a constitutional amendment that could allow local governments in Kentucky to abolish constables.
In sports, the Reds go for the sweep tonight against Milwaukee.
But Luke has the business news.
There's a slight chance of showers tonight with lows around 66. The complete forecast is coming up after this news.
A man is charged with DUI, driving without insurance, and driving on a suspended license following a fatal accident in Johnson County. According to WSAZ, the charges are lodged against 29-year-old Nicholas Ramey of Thelma in connection with a car motorcycle crash on Davis Branch Road. The mishap Wednesday afternoon took the life of the motorcycle operator. He was identified as Rodney Webb.
The Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives is reporting an increase of 28% in the number of burglaries at federally licensed firearm dealers nationwide during 2016, as well as a 58% increase in the number of firearms stolen. Charge Stuart Lowry, an ATF special agent in Louisville, says those guns are ending up in the wrong hands.
We know that every stolen gun in an FFL burglary is now a crime gun, and we fully anticipate those guns will be passed around in the criminal community. Often they're recovered in the communities surrounding the area where the burglary occurred, often in the hands of prohibited persons, such as convicted felons.
Over 50 firearms were stolen in the most recent robbery in Louisville at J&M Pawn. The ATF is offering an up to $10,000 reward for information leading to an arrest.
A top Republican lawmaker claims Kentucky settled a lawsuit against a major prescription painkiller manufacturer to avoid a conflict of interest for the state's Democratic Attorney General. KNN's Suzanne Duvall has more.
The allegation is from Kentucky Senate President Robert Stivers, who's calling for the $24 million settlement against Purdue Pharma from 2015 be unsealed.
Open the records. There's more questions that need to be asked.
Before becoming Attorney General, Andy Beshear worked for a law firm that represented Purdue Pharma in the case. Beshear had this to say about Stivers' request.
It's silly, shame on President Stivers.
Adding that Stivers is trying to politicize the opioid epidemic. I'm Suzanne Duvall.
Attorney General Andy Beshear was in Moorhead today to present money aimed at supporting victims of child sexual abuse. Beshear passed on slightly over $3,000 from the Child Victims Trust Fund, which will go toward purchasing forensic rape kits for the Gateway Children's Advocacy Center. Beshear says the fund is made up of civilian contributions.
All of this money, which is administered by a board, is used first to fund rape kits, and secondly, they support prevention programs. The largest one that we've had trained over 1,600 people to recognize the signs of predators and step in and do something about it. One of our trainings was here in Moorhead. Because of these funds and because of that training, you have local law enforcement, social workers, and advocates that know the signs and can do something when they see it.
Beshear says Kentuckians can donate to the Child Victims Trust Fund when filing their taxes, buying a license plate, or through a direct contribution. Donations can be made online at icareaboutkids.ky.gov.
Flemingsburg State Representative John Sims has been named to a state work group charged with examining Kentucky's infrastructure problems and how to pay for them. The Democrat was selected as co-chair of the bipartisan panel by House Speaker Jeff Hoover. Sims spoke Wednesday at a press conference in Frankfort. He says there's no shortage of needs.
Our bridges, they're deteriorating, falling apart every day. The roads, you know, you drive on them, you know how they are, potholes and stuff. So ready to get out and work with people, different groups, and hopefully find some solutions.
Speaker Hoover says the work group's findings will be important as Kentucky lawmakers prepare to tackle a new biennium budget next year.
Kentucky State Police Commissioner Rick Sanders is backing a constitutional amendment that would allow cities and counties to abolish constables. He thinks it's a good compromise because it leaves the choice in local hands.
You know, the constable position has been debated for years, whether they're an asset or a liability. I think this gives the community the chance to vote whether they want to use a constable or not. We have concerns that constables that are not POP certified might not be in the best interest of the community, but that's up to these communities to decide.
Sanders Wednesday testified in support of legislation sponsored by State Representative Adam Koenig. Both men appeared before the Kentucky Legislature's Interim Joint Committee on State Government.
If Kentucky holds its elections for governor and four other constitutional offices during presidential election years, they'll be overshadowed by the presidential contest. That's the view of State Representative Derek Graham. The Frankfort Democrat is not convinced that changing the timetable is such a good idea.
Our gubernatorial race will be lost in regards to the presidential race, because all focus will be on the presidential race. And I know Kentucky, sometimes we don't have a contested two-party race, but say in the event that it is, then we've got, a problem with the electorate paying attention to more towards the presidential race.
Graham is a member of the House Committee on State Government. The General Assembly is likely to be asked again next year to vote on a constitutional amendment that would allow Kentucky voters to decide the issue. Proponents say it would save money and increase voter participation.
Ashland Mayor Steve Gilmore isn't sure city commissioners will go along with suggestions that they permit citizens to raise chickens and other animals within the city limits. Ashland doesn't currently allow residents to raise fowl, rabbits, and other animals, and Gilmore thinks many people would like to keep it that way.
It's a slippery slope because there'll be a lot of people, unless it's affecting them, right next door, and it isn't right now, but unless it affects them, they're not going to get tore up about it. I think we'll probably hear from a lot of people that just assume that we don't open that door.
Several Ashland residents have made public appeals in recent months asking commissioners to adopt a more inclusive animal ordinance.
Moorhead City Council will soon be embarking on an effort to update the town's zoning regulations. Mayor Jim Tom Trent says the group will go through the codes one by one to make sure they still work.
We've contracted with a group that's going to come in and do a feasibility study and also a study on rezoning or rewriting our zoning laws and regs to make them more modern. And we've already met with them. That will take place roughly in late summer, early fall. Should have something by early summer next year.
Mayor Trent says safety will be the first priority as council looks to rewrite Moorhead's zoning laws. The issue came to a head recently when the panel's members debated the legality of a 14-bed house that its owner built with the intent of renting to someone who would then sublet its rooms, even though the dwelling is in an area zoned as residential. Trent says that action is legal under the city's current zoning regulations.
Tomorrow marks the end of the line for Dr. Wayne Andrews, who is retiring after 12 years as Moorhead State University's president. Among other things, Andrews has spent much of the last several weeks helping his successor, Dr. Jay Morgan, be prepared to take on the role. Andrews says one of the first things Morgan will need to do is become familiar with those he'll be working with on a regular basis.
He'll have to get to know the members of his cabinet and, you know, to kind of assess where things are in each of the functional areas of the university. And then I know he has a genuine desire, and I support this 100%, to get out into the region to meet the superintendents, the business leaders, the community leaders throughout our service region. And he's working on plans to do that.
Andrews says Morgan, who officially becomes MSU's next president on Saturday, will be helped by his recent work at the State Council on Postsecondary Education. Morgan also served as a faculty member and provost at Murray State University.
Congressman James Comer is praising President Trump's selection as Kelly Craft as the U.S. ambassador to Canada. The Tompkinsville Republican says the native Kentuckian understands rural America and how important Canada is to U.S. agricultural markets.
Kelly was raised in Glasgow, Kentucky, which is 30 miles from my hometown. Kelly has a lifetime of achievements and is extremely qualified. I look forward to Kelly Craft's great leadership as ambassador to Canada, and I urge a swift confirmation process in the Senate.
Comer delivered his endorsement Wednesday on the House floor.
The Kentucky Department of Agriculture is warning people to be vigilant while choosing the gas pump to use. MSPR's Tilden Johnson has more.
Kentucky Today reports local and state law enforcement agents, as well as those from the KDA, have been hunting for credit card skimmers at gas pumps around the Commonwealth. The devices are inserted to a pump's credit card slide and are used to steal information from a victim's card. Routine pump inspections recently found two skimmers in Spencer County. Two were found earlier this year in Rowan County. You are advised to be on the lookout for pumps with compromised locks, locks with keys broken off in them, doors that have been pried open, and security tape that is off or broken from the pump. For MSPR, I'm Tilden Johnson.
And finally this afternoon, the Maysville Police Department has received an accolade from the Kentucky League of Cities. The department is being honored for being one of the few in the Commonwealth to receive a perfect score during a review by the KLC. The 50 criteria used to judge each department's best practices came under two major headers: leadership standards and training standards. Mayor David Cartmell believes earning the award says a lot about Maysville's police department.
It says that they are, you know, totally engaged and conscientious. I can say it's hard to give any more accolades than what the KLC has given us. So we're tickled to death.
As a reward for its good work, the Maysville Police Department will be featured as part of the KLC's 2018 training calendar.
Taking a look at the weather forecast for the MSPR listening area tonight, expect partly cloudy skies with a stray shower or thunderstorm possible. Lows will be around 70 degrees. Tomorrow, scattered showers and thunderstorms, highs around 83. There is a 50% chance of rain. Tomorrow night, partly cloudy in the evening with a 40% chance of rain and some scattered thunderstorms after midnight. Lows will be around 70. For Saturday, scattered thunderstorms in the morning, then mainly cloudy during the afternoon, with thunderstorms likely. There's an 80% chance of rain during the day. Highs will be around 83. Saturday night, scattered thunderstorms in the evening, partly cloudy skies overnight, with a 60% chance of rain and lows around 66. On Sunday, some clouds in the morning will give way to mainly sunny skies for the afternoon. Highs around 84. And Sunday night will have clear skies, lows around 62. Starting off your week on Monday, sunshine and some clouds with highs around 89 degrees. Taking a look at temperatures around the region, it is currently sitting at 84 degrees in Lexington, 75 degrees in Flemingsburg, 82 degrees in Ashland, 86 in Inez. It's 83 degrees in Winchester, and it is 85 degrees here on the campus of Morehead State University.
444, you are listening to Mountain Edition on Morehead State Public Radio, and there isn't anyone we would rather spend the Thursday afternoon with than you. On our feature segment this afternoon, Morehead State University has partnered with Bluegrass Community and Technical College in Lexington. MSPR's Arlo Barnett has that story.
MSU and BCTC have struck a joint admission and reverse transfer agreement. The program is called Eagle Express. Jen Timmerman is Director of Transition Services at MSU. She says Morehead State already has a regional transfer advisor based at the Cooper campus of BCTC. So the full-fledged partnership was a no-brainer.
We've actually had this agreement in place with Ashland Community and Technical College for several years now, 3 or 4 years, and it's been incredibly successful. We've had a lot of students who have gone through that program and really seen the benefits of that personalized attention from both institutions simultaneously. And so they've transferred here and gone on to be very, very successful students. So we've decided to branch out.
Timmerman says Eagle Express will streamline things by getting to students earlier. It offers academic advising and admissions counseling to students who begin college at BCTC and move on to MSU, and helps Morehead students get their associate's degrees from Bluegrass.
Personally, my goal is to reach out to these students really in their first semester at the Community and Technical College and let them know about the opportunities that we have available here and go ahead and start working with them early on so that they have KCTCS advisors in addition to MSU advisors. And so everyone is working together to make sure that they're taking the correct courses for their desired program, that they're staying on track to graduate from KCTCS and then transfer to us on time and finish their bachelor's degree on time.
Timmerman adds, with dwindling student aid money, it's increasingly important for transfer students to finish their degree sooner rather than later.
It's no secret that performance funding is coming down the pipeline. And so I think that this is going to be a way for us to sort of get a jump start on that and make sure that we are graduating students on time and with less debt. I think that it's going to be a great opportunity for those students to get out into the workforce sooner and go ahead and carry on with their lives without worrying about taking classes that they didn't need or being, you know, underneath so much debt.
Over 35% of MSU's student population is made up of transfer students. The Eagle Express program is open to students at Ashland, Big Sandy, Bluegrass, Hazard, Maysville, and Southeast Kentucky Community and Technical Colleges. I'm Arlo Barnett for MSPR.
447, you are tuned to Mountain Edition on Morehead State. Public Radio, the latest national and international news is coming your way this afternoon at 5 o'clock on All Things Considered from NPR. But we'll have sports with Braxton Howard in 30 seconds.
Support for MSPR comes from Coffee Tree Books and the Fuzzy Duck Coffee Shop, promoting literacy and reading in the MSPR listening area since 1978. Coffee Tree Books, where books are ordered every day and special orders can easily be accommodated. Featuring a variety of gifts, cards, locally made crafts, and now a complete yarn shop. A community bookstore located at 159 East Main Street in Morehead. The Fuzzy Duck Coffee Shop and Coffee Tree Books are open Monday through Saturday, online, on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Good afternoon with Morehead State Public Radio Sports. I'm Braxton Howard. The Reds will look to finish off a three-game sweep of Milwaukee when they host the Brewers again tonight at 7:10 in Cincinnati. Last night, Adam Duvall's RBI infield single in the bottom of the eighth gave the Reds a 4-3 win over the Brew Crew, but the game's highlight came in the top of the second when right fielder Scott Schebler climbed the fence to steal a home run away from Milwaukee's Stephen Vogue with a fantastic catch.
Kind of just worked out perfect, you know. I got my cleats in good. You got to hit your stride perfect. There's just so many things that have to go right. The ball has to be in a perfect position. So, yeah, it's a lot of luck. But, it's cool that it happened for sure.
After being rocked in his first start of the season against Washington, Homer Bailey pitches again tonight for the Reds. 5-4 Jimmy Nelson will go for Milwaukee. Some big league notes. The Cubs yesterday designated veteran catcher Miguel Montero for assignment just hours after he criticized pitcher Jake Arrieta's slow delivery for allowing the Nationals to steal seven bases against him. Recently released after hitting just .205 for Philadelphia, outfielder Michael Saunders has signed a minor league deal with his former club, the Blue Jays, and Seattle lefty Drew Smyly's season is over. He's slated for Tommy John surgery. Some afternoon scores from around Major League Baseball. Detroit beat Kansas City 7-3, Cleveland beat Texas 5-1. Houston is up on Oakland 5-1 in the seventh inning. Arizona leads St. Louis 1-0 in the fourth, and the Cubs and Nationals are tied at 1 in the third inning. Morehead State baseball coach Mike McGuire is excited that one of his star players will be taking part in the College Baseball Home Run Derby this weekend in Omaha. McGuire believes sophomore Nico Hosizer has a shot at winning the competition.
Nico's going to have as good a power, if not better power, than anybody that's in that contest. That's the truth. I mean, he has unbelievable power and power that's going to grade as plus power at the pro level. So, you know, if you've ever watched these on TV before, it's kind of about getting in a groove, you know.
Hosizer was second in the country this year with 27 home runs. The College Home Run Derby is slated for 9 p.m. Saturday at TD Ameritrade Park. The contest will air on ESPN2. A couple of coaching changes in the local area. Wes Carter and head baseball coach Tim Johnson have parted ways. In his four seasons as head coach of the Comets, Johnson had an overall record of 84-43. And according to the Ashland Independent, Boyd County has hired Dave Wheeler as its new head softball coach. Wheeler had been the head softball coach at Russell since 2014. Prior to that, he had served as an assistant softball and baseball coach at Boyd County for nearly two decades. Coming off of a 21-win season and the program's first-ever trip to the Women's National Invitational Tournament, Morehead State women's basketball coach Greg Todd has signed a contract extension. Todd has been the head coach of the Eagles since 2014, and his new contract will run through 2021. Todd says he's excited to be locked in at MSU.
Very blessed. Just had a lot of support through our administration at Morehead State and athletic department, and I feel like I also have a great staff, and you know, have some young coaches that are doing a lot of great things. So feel very humble, very blessed, and very excited about our future more so than the past.
In 25 seasons as a head coach at the collegiate and high school level, Todd is 591-192. He's being inducted into the Kentucky High School Basketball Hall of Fame in July. Kentucky basketball coach John Calipari is already thinking about next season. With his roster bolstered by what many called the nation's best recruiting class, Calipari says he's excited about the Wildcats' prospects in 2017-18.
We're going to be really young. Really the most inexperienced team that I've coached. So, you know, that's going to be an issue to deal with. But, you know, I love our length. I love the group of guys. I love that they all want to win. When you talk to them, that's what they talk about.
That's Cal earlier this week on the SEC teleconference. Calipari's been in Colorado Springs getting the U.S. Under-19 squad ready to compete in the FIBA World Championship in Egypt. The tournament begins on Saturday. With an eye on the Eagles' 2017 campaign, Morehead State football coach Rob Tenier is thinking ahead to the start of preseason drills in August. According to Tenier, he and his assistants are getting some important tasks accomplished.
We'll turn our attention to updating playbooks and then also starting to break down our opponents for this coming year, our conference opponents and non-conference opponents, and have all that work ready to go and completed before we take a little R&R for the summer.
The MSU football team's 2017 campaign begins on August the 31st against Kentucky Christian at Jane Stadium. Finally, in sports, the Morehead State Athletic Department has promoted one of its staff members. MSPR's Chuck Mirage reports.
Operations Coordinator Victoria Johnson now has an additional title. She's also the MSU Athletic Department's Senior Women's Administrator. As the SWA, Johnson will serve as a liaison to the Eagle women's teams and represent Morehead State on OVC and NCAA committees while she continues on with her other duties, which include coordinating much of the game day operations for several of MSU sports. Johnson will oversee the Special Assistance Fund, including reporting, administering, and auditing funds with generating annual financial reports for the SAF. She'll be entering her fourth year with the Eagle Athletic Department. Reporting for MSPR Sports, I'm Chuck Mraz.
And that's it for sports. For Morehead State Public Radio, I'm Braxton Howard.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Morehead State Soccer will host a high school team camp July 10th through the 13th and an elite college ID camp on Sunday, July 16th. Camps are designed to help develop soccer players in all aspects of the game. More information at 783-2589 or online at msueagles.com.
454, you are tuned to Mountain Edition on Morehead State Public Radio. Bud Luke has been keeping track of Wall Street action for us this afternoon. Here's Bud.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing stock market report for MSU Public Radio. U.S. equities fell as technology's latest drop washed out strong gains from the big banks, and the Dow Industrials did finish with a loss of 167.58 at 21,287.03. The S&P 500 was down 20.99. at 2419.70, and the NASDAQ Composite was down 90.06 at 6144.35. New York Stock Exchange breadth was over 2-1 in favor of losing stocks over winners. Shares of Facebook, Amazon, Netflix, Apple, and Google parent Alphabet all dropped more than 1%. Chip stocks also fell, with NVIDIA and Advanced Micro Devices closing over 3% and 4% lower, respectively. The banks, as mentioned, very strong on the heels of the Federal Reserve approving plans to return capital to shareholders. And these capital plans were actually much greater than investors anticipated. Citigroup was up 2.8%. The Fed is approving a stock buyback of $16 billion for Citigroup. J.P. Morgan was up 1.5%, and Bank of America was up 1.78%. And all three announced sizable dividend increases after the close of trading yesterday. The CBOE Volatility Index, or the VIX, which is widely considered the best gauge of fear in the market, jumped almost 12% to trade near 11.63. And in the bond markets, yields continue to climb higher, with the benchmark 10-year note yield rising to 2.26%. It started the week around 2.15%. In economic news, the U.S. economy grew at an annualized rate of 1.4% this quarter, according to the Commerce Department's final first quarter GDP read. In the commodities markets, oil was up 0.3%, finishing at $44.87 a barrel. Gold was down 0.3% at $1,244.50 an ounce. In Europe, markets dropped, with the Stock 600 index down 1.3%. In Asia, markets rose, with the Nikkei up almost 0.5%, and the Shanghai market was also up about 0.5%. Among Dow industrial stocks, the best performers were J.P. Morgan and Goldman Sachs. The worst performers were Cisco and Intel. In the S&P 500, the best performers were Acuity Brands and Constellation Brands, and the worst performers were Advanced Micro Devices and Insight Corporation. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Ashland Global down 56 cents at $65.95, Fifth Third up 58 cents at $26.07, AK Steel down 3 cents at $6.76, Marathon Petroleum down 81 cents at $51.81, AEP down 55 cents at $69.60, and CSX was down 76 cents to finish at $53.82. Reporting for MSU Public Radio, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Support for MSPR provided by Downtown Moorhead Incorporated, presenting Fazoli's Freedom Fest on Saturday, July 1st. Music on two stages by The Wooks, Jericho Woods, Bang Bang, and A Midlife Crisis. Gospel showcase featuring Calvary's Song, Focus, Grace Note, The Sun's Family, and The Well. Gravity Falls Motorsports Cruise In on Main Street, Kids Activities, and a Thunder Over Triplet Fireworks Show at 9:45 p.m. Activities begin at 4 o'clock p.m. Saturday, July 1st. More information on Facebook under Moorhead Freedom Fest.
Last look at your weather forecast for the MSPR listening area. Tonight, expect partly cloudy skies with a stray shower or thunderstorm possible. Lows will be around 70 degrees. Tomorrow, scattered showers and thunderstorms. There's a 50% chance of rain and highs will be around 83. Tomorrow night, partly cloudy in the evening with a 40% chance of rain and scattered thunderstorms after midnight. Lows around 70. For your Saturday, scattered thunderstorms in the morning, then mainly cloudy during the afternoon with thunderstorms likely. 80% chance of rain and highs around 83. For Saturday night, expect scattered thunderstorms in the evening, partly cloudy skies overnight with a 60% chance of rain and lows around 66. For your Sunday, some clouds in the morning will give way to mainly sunny skies in the afternoon, highs around 84. It's currently 84 in Lexington, 82 in Ashland, 83 in Winchester, and it's 85 degrees here in Moorhead.
And that's it for us on Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from Chuck Mraz, Arlo Barnett, Braxton Howard, Sean Delaney, Kyle Blankenbuehler, and Tilden Johnson. This is Moorhead State Public Radio, WMKY Moorhead, and translator, W202BH Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Ellen Barnett and all of the MSBR News team, I'm Dan Conte, Moorhead State Public Radio News. All Things Considered is next. It's 5 o'clock.